Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Hello, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. This is part two of the conversation with Kathy Swofford about Marcy's Law, or Amendment 6 on your ballot. You heard the first part in the show I hosted before Hot Topics, First Coast Forum. If you missed that show, go to our website, myhot995.com. Let's pick up where we left off on First Coast Forum. So one thing that you also said for Safe Haven Northeast Florida, you said that that was one of the reasons you started Safe Haven Northeast Florida.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other?
I adopted 6 abused kids. They were my grandchildren. They belonged to my son. He unfortunately has terminal brain cancer. So him and the mom were divorced, they still are divorced. And her boyfriend was beating them. There was allegations of sexual abuse. They would go to school with head lice, ringworms, scabies, and infantigo all at the same time. They had all those 4 diseases on their body at the same time. Pitiful teeth. She never took them to the dentist. It was just a horrific child abuse. You could go into her house and open up the refrigerator and roaches crawling all in her refrigerator. So they were taken. But mind you, now the only reason these children were taken from her is I did DCF's job for them. When I found out what was going on, I called them and I let them know. They did a report. They investigated. They didn't remove them. They gave her a parenting plan and had her go to parenting classes. Well, then I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and she's like, hey, are you friends with Sabrina on Facebook? And I'm like, no, why? And she says, well, Ricky, which was the boyfriend, just tagged her in a post. And he said in the post that when the kids go to bed, he's going to stab them and kill them. And I was like, what? So I went and I looked up the post. And sure enough, it was out there. I printed it. I called back to DCF and I said, you either do something now or I go to the media. Well, they still didn't do anything. Because when they went by to talk to her, oh, no, we're not together no more. And they believed her. I literally had to follow them, get pictures of them, call DCF while I was where they were, and it took about 2 weeks, and they finally removed them. But they wouldn't have done it if I hadn't threatened them, and if I hadn't followed them and got the pictures of them together. So when they took them, they gave them to my son. Okay, why would you do that? He has terminal cancer. He can barely care for himself, let alone 6 kids. So, long story short, we ended up with them. And we fought in court for 3 years. It took 3 years to terminate this woman's rights. So, the day before we were to go to court, and she knew all the evidence we had on her. We had so much, it's crazy. At 5:00 the day before we go to court, she signs her rights over. So we were able to finalize our adoption in April of this year. During all of this, I told my husband 2 years ago, because we've been doing this for 2 years, I said, honey, we've got to really do something. Nobody's standing up for kids. Nobody's trying to change the laws to better, you know, our system, to hold these people that's abusing these kids accountable for what they're doing. Maybe if we start putting some of them in jail, maybe we can stop it or at least slow it down. And he says, okay, well, what do you want to do? So we sat there and we talked about it for a while. And we come up with, that's when we first come up with Stop Our Children's Pain. Well, the 6 kids just happened to be around there. And we were coming up with, you know, just tossing around ideas on what would we do for a logo? What goes with that? The kids was like, we're living with you because we were abused. I'm like, okay. So they said, why don't you use our handprints? And so me and my husband kind of looked at each other and was like, you know, that's a good idea. So that's how I got the logo of the 6 handprints. And then there's like, I think we need to say something in the handprints. We need to encourage kids. Now, mind you, these are abused kids that have been abused for 10 years. 10 years. So I said, well, what do you want to say, babe? And each one of them would come up with something. So if you look at my actual real logo, it says, help me. Save us. Give us a voice or be our voice. There's 6 sayings and there's a saying in each hand. These children come up with all of those sayings.
How are they doing now?
Really good. They're passing in school. A couple of them have been bumped up to the right grade because they were so far behind in school. They had anger management problems so bad that there's 5 boys and 1 girl. So the boys would literally choke each other until they would almost pass out. One of them would rip his clothes off himself because he would just get so angry and he didn't know the outlet of it. So when we got them, I was like, we're not doing this, guys. You know, you're in a safe, happy home. So we're not doing this. So the more they done it, I come up with this idea, and they hated it. But it straightened them up real quick. I would make them, when they start fighting, I would sit one on one side of the couch and one on the other side of the couch. I'd make them sit there for 5 minutes. Then when they were done, I'd make them get up and hug each other and tell each other that they love them. That lasted a whole 3 or 4 days, and they stopped fighting. They was like, nope, I'm too manly for this. So, but that's how you do it, you know? You show them love. After they've been through such horrific ordeals, if you show them love, they straighten up.
And they also learn love that way as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So now I get messages all the time. I love you so much. Thank you for being my mom.
Oh, how does that make you feel?
Proud. And I want to cry.
I want to cry just standing here listening to everything. It's, How's your son?
Hanging in there. He's beat his odds. Not saying that he's beat the cancer, because he hasn't. But when he was first diagnosed, they gave us 15 to 24 months. That was 5 years ago. He's not your normal adult. But hey, we'll take anything we can get at this point. We'll take anything we can get. He still has a relationship with the kids, which is good. He can't, like, be dad, but he can be friend. They call him dad, and I'm fine with that because he didn't do anything. You know, he had an awful thing happen to him. He didn't ask for this. Just like a kid doesn't ask to be abused.
If someone is out there listening and they are an abuser, what would you say to them?
Get help. If you're abusing, get help. Because you are ruining someone's life. Literally, you are ruining someone's life. Those abusers, here's the thing about abusers. It's not about anger. An abuser, if you ever meet one, they're not angry. They're not an angry person. Abuse is about power and control. They want to control you, and they want power over you. Once you take that power and control away from them, they don't know how to act. Just like a child. If you're being abused, it's because they want power and control over that child. And everybody wants to stop gun violence. Everybody wants to stop all these killings. Guess where it starts? With that child. 9% of abused kids grow up to be violent criminals. And when you have 7.4 million children every year that are abused, 9% of 7.4 million children are becoming violent criminals. Think about how many that is. We stop abuse, we can stop some of the violence.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
Another thing you said that I thought was interesting, one of the cases you worked on, you said that the father gained custody of the child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's interesting because we don't really think of mothers as abusers all the time. Is just not something that comes up in our minds. How often have you seen that the mother is the abuser?
Statistically, 50%.
Really?
Statistics say that child killings are done, 78% of them is by one parent. 90% of child abuse comes from the parents or a family member. And women are about 50, sometimes a little bit more, depending on what year you run the statistic. I think right now we're actually at like 65% of women are the abusers.
Why do you think it's so difficult for us to think of a woman as an abuser?
Because women are supposed to be compassionate. They're supposed to be gentle. They're supposed to be the loving, nurturing kind. Just like women commit domestic violence against men. And people don't believe that, but it does happen.
Absolutely, it sure does. Yeah, we've heard it on this show. You know, Kathy, earlier when we were off the air, you were telling me about some of the councils that you sit on. Mm-hmm. One is the Mayor's Victims Advisory Council. Tell me about that one.
The Mayor's Victims Advisory Council, we hold events to teach gun safety. We do a lot of things for victims. Like if your house gets broken into, you can apply for a grant through us where they will give you so much money for housing, or, you know, if you're domestic violence and you need to leave, they will grant you, I think it's like $750, and you can get it all at once or you can get it in payments. But we work with like Hubbard House. Some judges sit on this. You know, and we try to help any victim that we come in contact with. There's a week in April, they change the dates every year, mm-hmm. But it's Victims Week. And during that week, we do all kinds of things. We hold press conferences. We hold workshops. We hold a luncheon. We invite crime victims to come in and we recognize their bravery. Like last year. There was a woman, she had been raped and assaulted when she was, I remember she was like 13. And it took JSO 15 years to find the perpetrator. But she was brave enough to face that man, pick him out in a lineup, face him in court, say, "You did this to me. You need to pay for what you did to me." So we gave her an award for being a courageous victim and speaking out. So it's just different things that we do to help any kind of victim on the mayor's board. I also sit on the CAN committee, which is Community Action Network. And on that is where we go out to the Brentwood community in the surrounding areas and try to help families. We have people on that that's been addicted to drugs, seeing their friends killed because of drugs, seeing one go to prison for 20 years. But this man turned his life around. Now he's an author. He owns his own business. He has a child that he raises by himself. So he goes out to the community and lets them know, you don't have to sell drugs. And the way he puts it is, it's the same process to get out there and sell drugs as it is to market your own business, doing legal stuff. So he tries to get them out of that. We have another one that has a program for 18 to 24-year-olds. you go through this program and they pay you $600 a month to go through it. You can pick one of two things that you can be an IT person or a business person. You go through this program for 1 year, but after 6 months, they get you a job at a Fortune 500 company, like Chase, Bank of America, things like that. You work there for the 6 months. Majority of the time, they hire you after that. And they guarantee you when you graduate this program, you're going to make at least $40,000 a year. You get, I believe it's either 30 or 40 college credited hours. And it gets them off the streets. And it teaches you a trade. You have to have a GED or high school diploma to go through it. But they don't mind giving you a second chance if you've got a not so nice background. Mm-hmm. We get out there because within communities, one of the things is they don't trust the government. They don't trust the mayor. They don't trust police officers because everybody's let them down. So we're out there saying, we'll help. We'll come up with an action plan. There's even just community people that sit on this board and said, hey, this is what I think we need to change. And we try that. We try to change laws to help them. We teach classes. We do all kinds of things out in, within that community to better the community and try to get people out of poverty, try to stop the violence.
And this is called the Community Action Network.
Yes. Mm. We meet, the Community Action Network is open to the public. We meet the first Tuesday of every month at the Magnolia Project on Pearl Street.
You sound like a busy woman. Anything else?
Yes.
All right, I'm listening.
I teach classes on how to prevent child abuse. And I teach classes on domestic violence. If you know somebody that's being abused domestically and you don't know what to do to help them, I teach a class on that. And how to protect yourself in the meantime. And how to get that person to safety. So if we educate our community, that's another way we can break the chain of abuse.
So where do you teach those classes?
Various places. If you have a group of people and you want me to teach, just call me and we can pick a location. It can be at one of my offices. It can be at your office, your school, whatever. We've got a program written to go into schools to teach teachers how to identify abuse because believe it or not, they don't know.
So we've talked about a lot. What would you like to say your final thoughts about Marcy's Law, about Safe Haven of Northeast Florida? What are your final thoughts? What do you want people to know?
Everyone needs to vote yes on Marcy's Law. We desperately, desperately need this law in Florida. When I wrote my law, I didn't even know about Marcy's Law because we actually wrote my law last year and took it to the House this year, and it didn't pass because our Senate sponsor backed out. She was only there for a couple months, really didn't understand. Long story, but so it's not Marcy's Law. I don't want people to get them confused. Mm-hmm. So Marcy's Law, we need everybody to vote yes on Marcy's Law. State of Florida really needs this. Victims like me need this. Our law, which will be named Amari's Law, which Amari was a 2-year-old child that his father beat him to death. The very first time the mother let him see him, let him be alone with him. And he beat this child over 10 days, every day for 10 days. And on the 10th day, his body just gave out. And so this father killed his own son, 2 years old. So we named it Amari's Law after, to keep his memory alive. So with Safe Haven, what people need to do is stand up with us and fight. In the state of Florida, we lose five children every day are killed due to child abuse. Five every day. We need to hold DCF accountable. When a child dies and DCF knows, that they were being abused. We need to hold them accountable for their actions. They're not above the law. I've had people ask me, well, don't they have immunity? Not to my knowledge. If a caseworker goes out and knows this child's being abused and doesn't remove it, and this child ends up dead, that caseworker should be prosecuted. Because without our children, what is our future? And that's what Safe Haven does. We are advocating. I come up with this slogan. I don't know how I come up with it. And I tell everybody, at Safe Haven, we will stand and fight for every child until we can't stand. Then we will sit and we will continue to fight because every child's worth it. I don't care what your age is, your color, your religion. Child abuse doesn't see any of that. It sees heartache, death, hurt. We need to show love. We need to show compassion. We need to save our kids.
And if you'd like more information about Marcy's Law, visit their website, marcyslawforfl.com. And Marcy is spelled M-A-R-S-Y. Kathy, please tell everyone your website for Safe Haven of Northeast Florida.
www.safehaven.org.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. Thank you for telling me your story.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.